we've met, both of them, he has one company meeting a year or something that happened to be tonight. So you'll meet him in March. So.
Frank, selections weren't.
So what do you do for a living?
Project management. So it merges acquisitions, IT, property, real estate development.
How do you do it?
That's the rumor has it. That's not right.
That's my interpretation.
Oh, okay. Somebody said something about it.
Well, I'll have to speak to that. Speak to her.
After you shut it down, either you are going to scare it out of the building.
Yeah. So. Right. So. Then Tom says, here's my opinion, but you better go to legal
opinion. When the chair says go, that's when we'll go.
So
go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you turn it on?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, all those nasty things I said about Ron Barker are going to be on tape?
Yeah.
As if that's the first time.
Sorry, Ron.
Yeah.
Well, good evening, planning commissioners. Welcome to this is a planning commission work session for, I get the date right, my date is wrong,
16th.
February 16th. For the record, I'm Gordon Euler. I'm acting Oliver. Oliver's in Nigeria. And they're deaf in the family, so he's traveling. So we only have one work session item, and unfortunately, given that we didn't have a whole lot of people last time, we're doing the work session and the hearing on the same night. But first, let me introduce Robin Grimwade, sitting to my left, is one of the two new planning commissioners, the other being Matt Swindell, who's not able to join us tonight. You'll have time, hopefully, between the hearing and the work session and the hearing to get to know Robin a little bit. Got a fascinating background. Also has a great accent, which is fun to listen to. So I'm going to turn this over to Paul Scarpelli, who's the county's animal control and code enforcement manager, to enlighten you as to what's on the docket for tonight. So, Paul.
Thank you. I'm Paul Scarpelli. I'm manager for Clark County Code Enforcement and Animal Control. Clark County Land Use Code does not currently restrict owning poultry in most zones in the county. As residential infill, smaller lot sizes, and general population growth has been occurring, the number of complaints about noise from poultry fielded by both Clark County Code Enforcement and Animal Protection and Control has increased as well. The city-county line is nearly impossible to discern when leaving the city of Vancouver and entering into unincorporated Clark County. The streets look the same, the houses look the same, and the density is very similar. Staff discussions with citizens routinely find them of the belief that they reside within the city of Vancouver, where roosters, peacocks, and turkeys are already restricted. As the United States is also seeing an increase in recycling, sustainability, green living, and farm-to-table, more and more citizens are moving towards home gardens, backyard beehives, and poultry husbandry. Owning roosters, peacocks, and turkeys then lead neighbors to be concerned about noise, smell, and fear of the birds themselves should they leave the owner's yard. The restrictions to be discussed here is a land use issue, and we need to align the county's land use code, which is Title 40, with identical codes already approved by the Board of County Commissioners and County Councilors in Title 8, the Animal Code. The Clark County Councilors approved that change to the Animal Code in November of last year. So I think that you have received the packets ahead of time, I hope so, and you can see how the language has been proposed to be added into Title 40.
Looks like I found a typo in the staff report on page one. Numerous public hearings precluded this. I assume that's preceded.
Sure. I focus on the ordinance.
All right. Where is the ordinance in this binder? I was trying to find it.
I just gave it to you.
Oh, all right.
We sent it out.
You sent it out?
We sent it out, and here's Kathy.
All right, because I was kind of preparing, kind of looking through the binder.
Yeah.
Seeing if I could find something catchy on, and all I found was that typo.
Good. Thank you.
So it is proposed to be inserted into 4260-235, which is the Urban Livestock Code. And then under E, where it says prohibited animals, turkeys, peacocks, and roosters are prohibited within the urban growth boundary for the city of Vancouver.
That's the change.
And that's the only change?
Yeah. Yeah. Other than some, we had some referencing. I mean, it's a new E, so the old E had to be re-referenced as the new F. So, yes. And this, as Paul said, this language is already in Title 8. So we basically figured it would be worth our while to go ahead and, which is the animal control code, put it in the land use ordinance as well. So that's why we're here.
But the reason that I asked the board to include it in Title 8 is that's typically where people go to look for animal-related code issues. They typically don't think to go to Title 40, a land use thing. Plus, Title 40 is about 800 pages long, and Title 8's one-tenth that, maybe. So it's easier to find what you can and can't do in the animal code. Then, also, animal control is the one who typically gets the phone call, not code enforcement, and is asked to pass judgment on whether or not this is allowed. Now, they can pass judgment, but the true enforcement comes through code enforcement.
What's Title 14?
The building code.
The building code, okay. Because mm-hmm. Looks like you're adding a reference to that. That's the building code.
What line?
It's right above the prohibited animals.
The things that are underlined, that are in the little letter shading, those are links that are in the code already.
Okay, so that's already in the code.
It's a hyperlink.
So I usually try to go in and take those out. We were asked to put the entire section in here, and when we did that, I did not pull those out. So like under D, right above that, section 40, 260, 235, that's just, if you go online, and there'd be a link there.
So has there been any public interest in this at all?
Certainly people asking me to have this added as a restriction inside the urban growth boundary. Yes, that's why we're here tonight. We get about 50 phone calls a year.
People have been crowing about it.
Oh!
The peacock growers haven't
talked even now. I'm not even
going. Sorry, I just had to throw that.
So the question I was actually anticipating would ask, you haven't yet, is why just Vancouver? Why not other jurisdictions with growth boundaries? The quick answer is that Vancouver's urban growth boundary is fairly built out, and most other more rural jurisdictions are not. And there's also a way of life, I guess, the further out you get, then there's a greater expectation that even though you're inside an urban growth boundary of battleground, that it is very much rural versus the city of Vancouver, no. In fact, I had this map put together, and the idea being, and I hope you can see it, the red line is the city-county line, south-north, I-5 right here through the middle. And the yellow part is that part of the city of Vancouver's urban growth boundary, obviously not part of the city yet, but still inside the county. And what I really want you to focus on is not the yellow, but is on the dark gray. And you can see that the densities are very, very similar inside the city limits as outside the city limits. Now then, of course, right upon the fringe, things get far more yellow and not as darkly or acutely densified, if that's a word. There are golf courses, there's the island in the middle of the lake that doesn't count. There are some rather large parcels out on the fringe as well that are industrial. And so they have something on them, but it hasn't been turned into a housing development.
Well, in the smaller cities, you can't develop those to urban densities without annexing under our We didn't change that, did we, in 2016, Gordy?
No.
No. So you still, in the Vancouver UGA, you can develop at urban densities outside of the city in the UGA under certain circumstances. In all the smaller cities, if you want to develop urban densities, you've got to annex first, so then it wouldn't be under county jurisdiction anyway. So that's why I didn't have a question about that, because it did, made sense to me.
Any thought about the areas that are in urban holding? There are some large areas within the UGB that are urban holding, neighborhood and so forth.
There's no distinction. It's just in Vancouver UGA, whether they're urban holding or not.
Right.
But you have areas that for 5 or 10 years could stay essentially rural.
Yeah. And you wouldn't be able to grow peacocks.
Exactly.
If we adopt this. Well, you can't anyway, I guess because of the other chapter, but this would make
Again, this isn't dependent on whether it's urban holding or not. If it's in a UGA, they're prohibited, whether it's urban holding or not, in the Vancouver UGA. That's the way this is written.
So there's no point to this at all?
It's just to make the codes, the separate codes, align. Yeah. In other words, we don't want somebody coming in and saying, yeah, no, I understand it's a violation of Clark County Code Title 8, but it doesn't seem to be prohibited in Title 40, so what's the deal? And so what we're doing is we're trying to bring them in line.
So I'm sorry, Bill, introduce yourself.
I'm sorry, my name is Bill Richardson. Part of civil counsel for the county, and I represent a lot of the work done by code enforcement for legal aspects.
I don't want to put too fine a point on it. Making the point that there's large areas of urban holding where somebody had a peacock, but they would give it to them. And if you want our discussion and advice on this, I'm offering it. Otherwise,
it's the policy of code enforcement, not only because it makes sense, but due to manpower resources or lack thereof. We don't go door to door looking for issues. So the enforcement would only come into play if a complaint comes through and code enforcement could go out and verify it. So if you have perhaps an urban holding parcel that's larger acreage, no one's going to hear it, no one's going to know, or maybe that's what they expect, I bet. But it's the complaints we get, Bill, are from residential neighborhoods, especially the smaller parcels that are the infill and whatnot that is occurring.
So there's no poultry SWAT team that's...
That is correct. No poultry SWAT team yet.
So then the other side of this is, if you're having roughly 50 a year, there's a substantial amount of people in these areas that are trying to hunt these creatures. Anybody come to you and say, hey, I'm interested in keeping my peacock?
That happens in 45 minutes.
And we just write recommendations. So if you want to recommend that the board exempt, you know, lots over 5 acres or whatnot, you know, feel free. Who knows if the board will listen to us or not. It sounds like if they did listen to us, they'd have to go back and change Title A as well. But
kind of change something.
I think it's more academic unless there's some folks out there that are really interested in preserving that ability.
Yeah, we'll find out here.
Minutes. 45 minutes.
A little clarification. Why are we getting with the City of Vancouver ordinance?
So this is Title 40, which is Clark County Code.
Yeah.
But all we're saying is that this code will only apply in that area that touches the City of Vancouver.
City of Vancouver's already prohibits these. We're just making it consistent in the Vancouver UGA.
Yeah.
And we're not doing Battleground and those other cities, because you can't develop in the county in those cities. If somebody wants to do a subdivision out there, they got to annex, and then it's the city's issue, not our issue.
Three boards ago, urban growth managers moved. Hypothetical, I've got 10 acres, it's now in the urban growth boundary.
Can you have a peacock?
Before it was, I had peacocks. My grandfather did.
No.
That's going to cause some problems, isn't it?
What if a peacock just lands on your property?
Well, I guess part of my discussion on that would be that it's no different than when the City of Vancouver annexes inside the UGB, and they've already got it on their books, and guess what? You're not grandfathered in there either.
Okay.
Again, I think it's important to
to remember Paul's discussion of how enforcement operates. It's a complaint driven system. So if you have your peacocks and you have them forever on your very large parcel and they aren't bothering anyone, then probably enforcement will not come knocking at your door. On the other hand, if they're really the neighborhood nuisance,
although if you have a building inspector on your property because you're putting in a hot tub or something, they need to check the outlet, and they're wandering through and they notice you got peacocks over there.
Why are we picking up
the peacocks? They sometimes pull through. I've had clients that have turned in because the inspector was out there for one thing and looked over there and said, oh, hey, there's somebody doing that. That's not allowed either. And then, you know.
So when you know the inspector is coming,
hide your peacocks.
See, that's what they did. They threw it over the fence onto your porch.
Yeah. Offer them a turkey sandwich. Do some changes. Do something.
I go back and change.
Right. Other questions?
Any more questions? Yeah.
I got enough.
That we beat peacock to death.
Come on, Bill, you're going to have one more question.
Yeah, at least pull a pun. You can pull some pun out onto this thing.
I used to have a peacock. You know? And it wasn't my peacock, it was a neighbor's peacock that kept landing on my property. That's why.
So Bill, you need to answer the question, why does a peacock cross the road? Yeah. You being a transportation guy.
Get out of the urban growth ground here.
Yeah, because the UGA is on this side.
That's right. On that side. That's
right. See, there you go. Yeah.
That's the right answer. Could be done.
Cool. Is there any educational institution?
I think Paul answered my concern about
if they have on-site farms or anything like that.
That's a great question. Well, Washington State University, Paul's inside there, but they don't have an ag program. Their ag program's over in Pullman.
Because all I can think of is an educational institution running animal husbandry for small-scale farm practices.
Yeah.
It could affect their bottom line.
Right. We're not aware of any. Another just technical thing is that in order to have hens lay eggs, you do not need a rooster. So for those people that are having the chickens in their backyard, you don't need to have the male present to get the yolks you're looking for.
Well, that's just interesting. So the chickens are okay. So we have a gender issue.
Well,
gender discrimination, yeah.
Hens are okay, roosters not so much.
Yeah. This can't be the first time you've known about that.
We've been away from this meeting too long.
It had to be in writing.
All right, any other questions related to the work session, or should we close the work session? And,
I'd like to just compare this all four to be and this, you know. I'm feeling they're almost the same.
No.
All right.
Just a couple of other things before you adjourn. Yeah. So that you're aware of them. Last Wednesday was the Growth Management Hearings Board hearing on the comprehensive plan. It lasted the better part of a day. If you want the sort of details, I'm going to skip those. If you want to really know, ask Chris what she thought. That's behind us. Our understanding is that the ruling will be on or about the 23rd of March from the Hearings Board. So
I would say not before the 23rd
okay.
of March.
So the 23rd of March-ish, 23rd-ish of March is when we expect the ruling. If you're interested in what's happening with comp plan, that's the latest. So anything else you want to say about the proceedings, Chris?
No, unless somebody has questions.
What's your gut feeling?
That's put you on the spot.
There were 25 issues. One of them got dismissed on summary judgment. CCCU withdrew another. And that leaves 23. So my gut feeling is you win some, you lose some.
Was it a CCCU issue that got dismissed or a FutureWise issue that got dismissed?
It was the FutureWise assertion that the Rural Industrial Land Bank, that the deadline for that was actually actually in 2004
rather
than 2016. We all filed summary judgment motions on that. They initially granted the FutureWise summary judgment motion and gave us 60 days or 90 days or something ridiculous to come into compliance. My compliance statement was, you know, with all due respect,
you're wrong.
I think you're wrong. And
they said, oops, we meant to deny instead of grant.
They reconsidered it. Granted,
changed their minds.
That doesn't happen for you.
Vacated theirs and dismissed the issue. So. Huh.
Wow. So you heard all of it in one day? Procedurally, you did FutureWise and CCCU all in one day?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was, I was not terribly impressed with the way that the hearing was set up. It was set up, of course, so what's different here? It was set up so that CCCU, FutureWise was first, so they had to rattle through all their issues, and then CCCU rattled through all of theirs, 12 and 11, and then we had to do all of ours, except for the ones that the interveners were doing. So there was no coherence to it. We didn't have all the complaints about public participation or procedure or CEPA all in one place. We didn't have all the issues having to do with rural and resource land all in one place. I had thought that would have made a lot more sense, but I wasn't asked. There it was. Each of the three cities that expanded at a UGB had their own attorney. In some cases, more than one attorney. The applicants for UGB expansions, as well as Lackler, were all represented. So there were a lot of people to argue about a lot of things. It's a lot harder than.
And they didn't take a lunch break.
And they decided it would just be so much better if they could, quote, power through it. And so the hearing went from 9 till 2:45 without a break. Well, without a lunch break.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. It was rough.
It's actually briefer than I thought it could possibly have been.
Well, that had something to do with the time limits, you know, when you have 19 issues and 30 minutes, you kind of stick to the highlights.
I don't look for a particularly favorable ruling because we got parking passes for the people coming down because they came from out of town. Well, since they couldn't find a place to park, they parked where the meters were, and they all got tickets.
And didn't pay.
So we figured that we're screwed.
It's Vancouver, it's the city that enforces our parking.
Maybe.
So they can complain to us all we want, or all they want. We can't do anything about it. Yeah.
So let's see. The only other thing that's coming down the road is we've started the process for annual reviews and dockets. And so if you looked on the latest Planning Commission docket that Sonia sent out, you'll see a whole bunch of Thursdays that are set aside for that in the next, five or six months. We have three annual reviews, and I don't know how many dockets. There's
a shifting number.
There's about, we've got four staff that are going to be presenting because we decided rather than make poor Jose do all of them that we'd share the love and split up the workload. So I think there's probably a dozen total between dockets and some of them are bigger deals, some of them aren't. So you'll see that on the Planning Commission, your docket schedule. We don't have dates for specific things assigned to specific nights, but there'll be work sessions on all of them, so coming up.
So, and I've got two, so I'll be recusing myself from Wired.
Okay. That's good to know. So I think that's it from Planning Commission. Oliver is out this week and next week. Should be back on the 27th, so you'll see him in March. So any questions that you have?
No questions, all right.
All right.
So I guess we're adjourned now.
Thank you. We'll see you at the hearing.
Yeah.